Welcome inside the Locked On NFL Draft Podcast. I'm John Ledger, your host from over at FanRagSports.com, along with Trevor Sikkema, who covers the Tampa Bay Buccaneers for PewterReport.com. And it is Fan Friday, which means we get to talk Offensive Defensive Rookie of the Year races, as well as pick the MyBookie games for you guys, pick the lines for MyBookie, tell you guys how to spend your hard-earned cash this weekend if you're betting on football. Trevor, we have to talk about Offensive Rookie of the Year and Defensive Rookie of the Year. Offensive Rookie of the Year is really, I think it's kind of a polarizing conversation right now between early season impressions and recency bias with Alvin Kamara, because statistically, if you look at it, Kareem Hunt is superior in that way. Well, it depends on what statistic you're looking at, I guess, but 890 rushing yards, he's second in the NFL still in rushing. Most of that's from a hot start, though, at the beginning of the year. And he hasn't found 100 yards for, I think, like five or six weeks now, something like that. Yeah. And so he's averaging like 4.8 yards per carry, which is down from when he was averaging like 7.8 yards per carry early in the season. That probably wasn't ever going to be sustainable. He's still having a good year, but he hasn't done much of late for Kansas City at all. And Kamara, on the other hand, is going off for the Saints, but he only has 77 carries, which he's turned into 546 yards, and he's also killing it as a receiver. So it's just two, I mean, first half of the year or first quarter of the year, whatever, or first third of the year, I guess, Hunt was killing it. And then Kamara, the last couple weeks, has just been on an absolute fire. I don't know. I know everyone's kind of leaning Kamara because recently it seemed to go that way, but I think it's still pretty up in the air. And if Hunt gets hot and the Chiefs get back on track, that might be a big if. I think he could still come away with this thing pretty handily.
Yeah, I know that this award isn't of the same nature as like an MVP is, where you're talking about like a most valuable guy. But I mean, if Kamara finishes this year with over 800 rushing and receiving, and the Saints win the NFC South and even like get a bye, I mean, I think it's Kamara's award, not only because of how well he's averaging 7 yards a touch on the ground and then 10 yards as a receiver. I mean, that's crazy, especially when you look at the Saints started the year 0-2, I believe. And that was when they had Adrian Peterson.
Right.
They were trying to figure out how to use him and Mark Ingram. And then all of a sudden, Kamara just keeps creeping. They end up trading Adrian Peterson, giving Kamara a full-time load. And, I mean, he's a reason why the Saints – he's part of the reason why the Saints have been so unstoppable since that point. I know their defense has improved and everything like that, and I'm not trying to take away from that either. And, like, I preface this with, I know it's not necessarily a in the same spirit as a most valuable player, but if it's close with Kamara and with Hunt, I mean, it's human nature to think of a what have you done for me lately, but right. It's also like I don't even think that's wrong per se. Mm-hmm. Like people harping on the whole you know, like the body of work thing, and because Kareem Hunt's first couple weeks in the NFL were unbelievable, and you have to credit him for that. But I mean, if we stay the course here, and if the Saints still keep killing it the way that we think they are, and even if Kareem Hunt gets over 1,100 rushing yards, whatever it is, Kamara has been a more valuable running back to a team that has earned a higher record. So, I mean, like, he has been the better running back for his team. He has been the better rookie. So, that's kind of – I think it's Kamara's award. It's, you know, barring that Kamara doesn't just tank off the rest of the year, which I don't think he is, that would kind of be my reasoning.
I'm torn. I'm really torn on this one. I think I would still lean with Hunt because I think, man, he's going to probably finish the year around 1,200 rushing yards. He could be second in the league in rushing, and he's not a slouch as a receiver either. He's going to have 50-plus catches. He's going to be over 500 yards as a receiver. And I know it isn't all about the numbers because you're right. Kamara, if you ask me who has done more exceptional things on tape this season, I would tell you Kamara because he's made plays this season that – honestly made my jaw drop. Like, I don't know if you watched the last game that they played against the Rams. It was in a loss, and he was sensational. I mean, just almost just a flawless elite level performance. It was incredible to watch. But I don't know that I'm ready to steer away from what Hunt's done either, because I have to believe he's going to get back. They're going to get that offense back on track. I don't think it's even mostly Hunt's fault.
How many touchdowns does Hunt have? Do you have his stats up right
Hunt
there?
Has 4 rushing and 2 receiving. And what, Kamara has 4 rushing and 5 receiving?
No, 5 and 4. I'll flip that around. But okay. Okay, what if Kamara finishes the year with 800, 800, and then 8 and 8?
That'd be a phenomenal finish of the season.
It's 1,600 yards from scrimmage.
I mean, it would not be easy, man. I mean, because Kamara's been unbelievable.
Yeah. It's hard. I think, I don't know. Kareem's definitely going to finish up there. I got to think Kamara's ahead right now. I'll just say that. I think Kamara's ahead right now.
Here's why I think Kamara could lose out on his, because Hunt has no one competes with Hunt for touches in Kansas City. Like, really, I mean, he's a guy there, you know what I mean? And Kamara, no knock on him, but he just happens to be sharing the backfield with Mark Ingram, who's 5th in the NFL in rushing and is averaging 5 yards a carry and has 8 touchdowns on the ground. So, like it or not, the NFL is going to look at this statistically, because I know a lot of people are going to obviously think Kamara should, just based on the merit of his performance, which has been otherworldly, and I don't disagree with them. But in terms of who I think has a best chance of winning it, I just think when you look at Hunt and when you look at what he's going to get production-wise out over the rest of the season, I think if he's able to stay healthy, Kamara's got to continue to maximize every touch like crazy. That's a difficult thing to do. I will give you this. If he does that, he continues to average 7 yards per carry. He continues to make the impact like he has as a receiver, whether it's averaging 10 yards a catch, whatever it might be, I think you're going to have a real hard time not giving him the award, because those are unreal numbers per touch to be able to put up in an offense that has spread the ball around a ton to a lot of different people where he isn't a feature guy. That's going to be really hard to look up, I think. I think Juju is in the conversation, but it's not going to happen. I mean, he's not going to catch those guys, I don't think. I mean, he's having a great season, and he's had a great past couple weeks before he got hurt. I think he'll be back this week, but, yeah, he's not. I don't think he's in that conversation with those guys, really.
What about
defensively? Okay. I think that it's Marshawn Lattimore for sure. He is hurt right now. I haven't seen whether he's – what his status is for this week. I don't think it was supposed to be a long-term thing. So as long as it's not like anything significant, maybe even if it is, I think it's Marshawn Lattimore. I'm not sure how you can take it away from the kid. Not often do you see a rookie come in and transform a team or a unit like he has with the Saints defense. He's been that good, and you saw they didn't have him. Jared Goff threw for 300-some yards against the Saints because they didn't have Lattimore out there. They didn't have Ken Crawley either, who's been really good as well, but I don't know. I think there's been a lot of good defensive rookies, but I just can't see anybody unseating what Marshawn Lattimore's done this season.
Yeah, be tough. There's a couple of guys that are playing really well. Eddie Jackson is one of them for the Bears.
Yes.
Just trying to think of guys off the top of my head.
Tre'Davious White's been 16 passes defensed and 2 picks for Tre'Davious White.
Yeah, White's been good, because the thing is, they've been targeting White a lot. Mm-hmm. And so, when you're a rookie and you're out there, they're going to throw the ball at you, and whenever you can stand your ground, that's a good thing. But, I mean, it just makes Lattimore even more impressive, right? I watched him against Mike Evans firsthand when they played the Bucs, and he got under Mike Evans' skin so much that Mike Evans blindsided him later in the game, So, it's pretty dang impressive what Lattimore's been able to do. I gotta think that it's him. I wish we got a full year of my boy Malik Hooker.
Yes, he's still leading all rookies in interceptions.
I mean, God, just give me a full year with that guy.
We could posthumously honor him with the Rookie of the Year award.
Might have to do that.
Honestly, second for me would probably be Carl Lawson, because he's got 7.5 sacks and a legit shot at 10 sacks on the season as a rookie. That does not happen often. Look up guys who've had double-digit sacks as rookies. It's an impressive bunch. He would be with some nice names if he does that, and he's pretty close. So 7.5, I mean, and he's come on lately too and had a couple big games. So I think he's going to get plenty of opportunity. I think he gets there. I think he's going to get to 10 and we'll have a real conversation with him being in the mix as well. I mean, other rookies have been obviously really impressive, I think. I don't know if there's a linebacker that stands out to me, but if there was one, it would probably be Kendall Beckwith, huh? Did not see that coming before the year started.
I didn't either. I wrote a good amount of post-draft, kind of what can Kendall Beckwith do for this team, and I really was kind of scratching my head at where they were going to play him with Quan Alexander and Lavonte David already on the team. But, I mean, he has found a way to get it done, man. Not only just get it done, but he's forced them to make him a starter, like, mm-hmm. at all times, just like a –
Right.
So they're playing three linebackers all the time. Kendall Beckwith has been so good that he has forced Mike Smith, the defensive coordinator, to go to a 3-3-5 formation to stay in nickel and yet have those three linebackers on the field. That's how mm-hmm. good he has been. So I think he's in the top five for rookies, no doubt, but I don't think anybody's dethroning Lattimore.
Yeah, I agree. Buda Baker, shout out. He's going to make a late season push. He's finally in the starting lineup for the Cardinals, and he's responded with what he had the other week against Houston. 13 tackles. He had a sack. He had two passes defensed. He has four passes defensed in his last three games since he got inserted into the lineup. He has four passes defensed in that time, and he has 26 tackles in those three games for a defensive back. And he's also forced two fumbles. He's been an absolute highlight reel machine for the Cardinals since he got put in the lineup. I think that's only going to continue as the year goes on. He's obviously not in defensive rookie of the year conversation, but had he been starting from the beginning of the season, if Bruce Arians didn't hate rookies with a passion, he'd be up there. But there's been a lot of good rookie performances. I think it's been a really good class so far. So I'm excited to see what these guys do moving forward. All right, my bookie lines. Here we go. Picking the games.
All right. 1 o'clock. Kicking it off with Detroit Lions against the Baltimore Ravens. It is in Baltimore. Detroit's getting 3 points. So Baltimore is favored by 3 at home. Look at that.
Is this it for Detroit if they lose? I mean,
I'm picking Detroit, yes.
This might be backs against the wall time for the Lions.
Detroit has to win this week, and they have to win next week at Tampa Bay. Have to.
They've got Tampa Bay, Chicago at home, at Cincinnati, Green Bay. Who knows what their status will be in that game for the end of the season. But the Lions are the better football team in their next four games. They need to win them all.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, they probably need to win them all. Because I don't know if Rodgers is back, Green Bay, that game could be a big one. Because Packers honestly have an easy schedule too. So can't lose that tiebreaker probably. I don't know. We'll see. But I think it's a vital game for Detroit. They're six and five.
I'm thinking Detroit getting points.
Yeah. What was it? You said the Ravens were favored by what?
3. So like Detroit's getting 3 points.
Yeah, I'm taking Detroit as well.
Okay. All right. Next game, San Francisco 49ers. Jimmy Garoppolo getting the start. The tight ends are going to be calling the plays. did you see that?
Yeah, I did see it. I don't really understand. See, here's the thing. If people are worried about that with Garoppolo, Kyle Shanahan's offense, an insane amount of terminology and stuff to know. I mean, look at Matt Ryan from his first year to his second year. He was a complete trainer because it was his worst year of his career, probably as in his first year with Shanahan. In his second year, he had a much better grasp of everything and played that way for a reason. So Shanahan's offense, not for the faint of heart. So Garoppolo's been in it a couple weeks, probably not heard much like it because it is a very unique. I've been learning a lot about Shanahan's offense recently. It's unique. He teaches things very unique. He's a perfectionist. He wants things done a specific way. It's different than other coaches in the NFL. There's a lot to this, more than just, you know, Garoppolo can't handle it and things like that. I don't think that's it at all. Yeah. But yeah, tight ends calling the plays.
And they're facing the Chicago Bears in Chicago. San Francisco is getting 3 points. Bears favored by 3. I think I'm going to say just give me the Bears anyways. I think they're going to cover by 3, even though this will be a low-scoring match. Like you said, I think it might be a little bit overwhelming for Garoppolo in his first start.
Nah, 49ers got this. I have faith in my dude Jimmy G, man.
All right. Very good game here. We got Minnesota Vikings at the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons are favored by 3.
That's a quality 1 p.m. kickoff.
Very quality.
I think Atlanta's one of the best teams in the NFL. I think Atlanta wins this football game. They end the Vikings' win streak. What are the Vikings on, like a 7-game win streak or something?
I have no idea.
Eight games?
Whatever it is, you can tack on one more because I'm picking the Vikings. And
what's the line in this game?
3 points. Vikings getting 3.
Give me the Falcons.
All right. Wow. Okay. New England Patriots at the fighting Nate Petermans. Sorry, just kidding. The Buffalo Bills.
That Bills experiment ended.
God, it should have never began, John. It should have never. God, whatever. Sean McDermott, if you're listening, good morning, sir.
I was going to say, I put a rating on this podcast every time I post it up online. I say clean. We got to keep that rolling.
Patriots are playing the Bills. The Patriots are getting 9 points. They're favored by 9 points. Sorry.
Right. They're getting Patriots are
No, I'm picking the Bills. Give me Tyrod and 9 points.
No, give me the Patriots.
We're going opposites today. This is good. This is going to separate it from records.
I don't even know what our records are, by the way. I know the one guy was keeping track of them.
Yeah, somebody was keeping track of it.
Yeah.
So shout out to whoever was keeping track of it.
Let us know how bad I'm beating Trevor if you get a chance.
Okay. Denver Broncos at Miami.
Oh, my gosh. This is the game not to watch. What a trade wreck. I think Miami might be the worst team in the NFL right now. But Denver is making it tough.
Miami is getting 1.5 at home.
Oh my gosh, who is going to win this game? Both these teams are awful.
The over-under is 39.5, which is gross.
Give me Denver. I don't even know who's playing quarterback for Denver. I don't care.
Is Matt Moore playing quarterback for Miami?
Probably, yeah.
Then I will take
Matt Moore. You're a big Matt Moore fan.
Yeah, but Dolphins are trash.
Dolphins are so bad, dude.
You know what? The Dolphins have won in a lot of places where it didn't make sense this year. Fins. Fins up, baby. Houston Texans against the Tennessee Titans. Deshaun Watson versus Marcus Mariota.
Man, Titans really got to win, huh? I mean, the Jaguars still play Seattle in a couple weeks when Seattle might be a little bit healthier. And now Tennessee obviously lucked out with Jacksonville losing to Arizona last week.
Houston's getting 6.5. By the way, I know that Deshaun Watson's not playing quarterback for all you out there who are just going to yell at me. 6.5. I'm taking the Titans. I'm not picking the Texans. Also, like,
but the Texans have played like somewhat.
Have you seen some of the Clowney highlights?
Yeah, he's...
They're floating around?
Yeah, he's killing people.
Like,
he's playing like he's mad.
I don't know what they told that man.
I don't either.
Like, 2 weeks ago. But I'm fearful now. Did you see... I think it was Max Williams. They were doing they were doing, like, a split zone. He was coming across, and Clowney just ended him didn't care about where the ball was actually going.
He killed him. And then the guy bounced it to his gap and ran over there. I was like, oh, man. But that's kind of what you're still supposed to do. Maybe not commit that hard, this Clowney, but, oh, man. It was one of the biggest hits I've seen.
Knocked his mouthpiece out, I think.
Probably knocked his mouth out.
If you haven't seen the play, please just try to search for it. Whoever told Clowney whatever he told him to make him that angry the last 2 weeks, I need him to say it to Gerald McCoy. Because when Gerald McCoy is angry, he's one of the most fun defensive tackles to watch.
That's true.
So I'm taking the Titans. Are you taking the Texans or what? They're getting 6.5.
Give me the Texans because I don't trust the Titans right now.
All right. Colts at Jaguars. Jaguars are favored by 9.5 at home.
Nine and a half. I don't think the Jaguars can get that type of an advantage unless they score like 5 times on defense. Oh, last time they played Brissett, they sacked him like 11 times, right? We should note that. It was something like ungodly number that just isn't even fair.
I mean, I'm going to take the Jaguars.
Yeah. You said how many points?
9.5.
Okay, so for the Jaguars to win by 9.5, if the other team scores, they need to get at least how many turnovers/short fields? 3, 4?
I mean, at least 3, yeah. But you know they're getting 3, so.
I don't know. Give me the Colts. I think the Jaguars will win, but I don't think
it'll be. We're just going real different today. Tampa Bay Buccaneers at the Green Bay Packers. The Bucs are getting 2 points.
Give me the Bucs, baby. Let's do it. Let's do this thing. No, no, the Packers are going to win. Packers are going to win. Packers are going to win. This is it for the Packers. They got to win. They got to win. And Hundley played better last week. I still think he's terrible, but he played better. So, yeah. And the Bucs secondary is pretty awful.
Man, I can't believe I'm saying this, but I'm going to take the Bucs.
Your funeral.
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Kansas City Chiefs at John's New York Jets.
Okay.
Jets are...
They air raid New York Jets, the high-flying offense led by Josh McCown, future Hall of Famer. Three, that's it.
Yep.
Give me the Chiefs. They'll get back on track. They got to win. Give me the
Jets.
Oh, what? Do you think the Jets are going to win?
With three points? Yes,
No. I mean, win the game.
Yeah, with three extra points. Yes, I do, good sir.
No way.
We'll remember this podcast when you weren't a believer. The Carolina Panthers.
You really love Josh McCown.
Going to the New Orleans Saints. Saints are favored by 4.5 at home. I hate that number, man.
They're favored by 4.5, you said.
I hate 4.5, yes. Mm,
yeah, mathematically, that makes it tricky. I think the Saints win, but I think it's by like 3, a field goal at the very end, something like that. So give me the Panthers. I don't feel great about what I just said, but.
I don't.
Because I really don't think the Panthers are that great, so I could see the Saints popping off and punching them in the mouth. But yeah. It all depends on what Cam Newton comes out. He's been all over the map this year.
Yeah, but he's been decent lately. Yeah.
Give me the Panthers. All right,
I'm taking the Saints. Whatever. Cleveland Browns at the Los Angeles Chargers. Josh Gordon is getting 13.5 points, and it's in
as it should be,
Los Angeles.
Give me the Browns. Yeah.
100%.
They're not going to, I don't know if they'll win. Wouldn't it be the most Chargers thing ever to be worked back into the AFC West pick? I saw a poll the other day. I think it was on NFL.com. It was like 71% of people think that the Chargers are going to win the division. I don't know how many votes it was overall, but probably a couple thousand at least. I was like, it's the Chargers. They do this to you every year. The most Chargers thing ever would be to lose to the Browns in this game. I mean, it would be incredible.
I'm taking the Browns in the points.
Me too.
Los Angeles Rams at the Arizona Cardinals. The Cardinals are getting 7 points at home.
Seven's a good bit, but I think the Rams are going to do it. Give me the Rams.
Get him by more than 7.
The Fighting Blaine Gabberts.
Sure. Yeah, why not? I'll take the Rams, too.
Yeah.
New York Giants, led by Geno Smith.
Oh, my gosh.
At the Oakland Raiders. Oakland is favored by 8.5 at home.
8.5's a good bet. For a team that's been horrible on defense. It's good for Geno that he gets to start against probably the worst defense in the NFL, right?
I don't know.
I mean, the Raiders are freaking horrible.
They're bad. They're one of them. They're bad. Miami's bad. Tampa's bad.
Might lean the Giants here as well.
I'm going Giants, baby.
Didn't expect to come out and say that this week, but
the disrespect is going to pay off. For
well, had the Matt Raiders blown it? The Raiders really haven't blown anybody out. Even last year when they were good, they didn't blow people out.
Yeah.
And you said 8.5?
8.5.
Yeah. Well, the Raiders did have 2 blowout wins at the beginning of the year, so I lied. They won by 10 over Tennessee, and then they won by 25 over the Jets.
Future MVP and Pro Bowl leading recipient Carson Wentz takes on the Seattle Seahawks.
Is he your MVP right now? Is Carson your MVP? Is Carson your MVP right now?
Oh my God! Yeah, it's not even close.
What about Tom? What about Brady? What about Antonio Brown?
I don't give a crap.
Okay, I'm just listen. You don't have to pick a quarterback every time just because they always win.
The teams. If anything, I would go Wentz, Brady, Brown.
I don't know. I still think it might be Brady. The Patriots defense is statistically one of the worst in the league.
Zeke number one because the Cowboys looked abysmal.
Listen, I think Carson Wentz has been – that's a good point, actually. I think Carson Wentz has been amazing this season, but he's had a ton of short fields because the defense keeps getting him turnovers. The defense has been phenomenal. The run game has been very good.
He's capitalized on him.
Right. He's done what he has to do. But Tom Brady has no running game. Well, I mean, they're capable rushing team, but you know what I mean. They have no game changer there. He has one of the worst defenses in the NFL. The Patriots have been
– it's the Patriots.
Awful all season long, but they've been bad defensively. And if without Brady, the Patriots would be a 500 team right now. Because they don't have a quarterback, backup quarterback either. That's part of it. You think Brian Hoyer would have the Patriots with a winning record right now? Belichick's great, but not with that defense. No pass rush?
Yeah.
With Brady, Patriots are Super Bowl favorites.
You know what, John? I'm not going to let you logic me into this, okay? I'm standing by my my super quick decision. So there you go.
I mean, fair enough, because without Carson Wentz, the Eagles probably aren't. I mean, they're definitely not 10-1.
The Eagles are favored by 6 on the road at Seattle. Wow. I wonder what the biggest spread against Seattle has been in Seattle over the last.
That's a good, yeah.
Like 7 years.
I wonder
because
that as well.
I bet 6 is close to the most.
Here's Seattle's.
I definitely understand that they're hurt, but still, 6 points, man.
Here's Seattle's defense if they're healthy, okay? Frank Clark, Cliff Averill, one of the best DN combos in the league, Michael Bennett, Sheldon Richardson, Malik McDowell, Jerron Reed. That's a stud defensive line. Yeah. Bobby Wagner and KJ Wright, they hardly ever play a third linebacker. Those two guys on the second level. Richard Sherman, Deshaun Shedd was having a great season last year. Thought he was a rising star. Shaq Griffin, Earl Thomas, Cam Chancellor. They don't have Averill. They don't have Malik McDowell. They don't have Bobby Wagner probably this week. Well, I don't know. He didn't practice at all the last 2 days. That's usually not a good indicator. Richard Sherman's out for the season. Cam Chancellor's out for the season. Deshaun Shedd's been on the PUP list. He could come back here at the end of the season, but they got to activate him soon. And Earl Thomas also did not practice yesterday with a heel injury. So not a great sign for his availability this week. Just don't know if they can win against the best record in the NFL with like 3 or 4 regular starters in the lineup and none of their secondary. I just don't know if they can do it. So
I'm taking the Eagles.
Yeah, give me Philly.
All right, and then Monday night, Pittsburgh Steelers at Cincinnati Bengals. Since you're getting 5 at home, I'm taking the Steelers, 100%.
I am taking the Bengals because here's why. The Steelers have not played well against Cincinnati. They just keep winning the games, which is obviously something, but it's usually because Cincinnati self-destructs and Dalton has been playing well recently. That they need to win this game. If they get to 6-6, they have legit playoff hopes. 5-7 really hurts them. I know the offense still hasn't played well, but they've been better on that side of the ball, I think. The defense has been pretty solid all season. The best red zone defense in the NFL. The Steelers, the 28th ranked red zone offense in the NFL. I think Cincinnati finds a way to finally get Pittsburgh in a game that they got to have. I still don't know if they make the playoffs, but I think they get him. I don't feel confident saying that, though, because I've seen how the Bengals handle matchups with the Steelers, and they typically fall apart.
Well, that's
all. I'm going to at least pick the Bengals because you said it's, what, 5.5 points?
5.
5. Okay, so I'm picking the Bengals at least with the spread. So, all right, there you go. There's our MyBookie picks. Go over to MyBookie.ag. You can follow exactly what I said and not what Trevor said for how to bet on the games this weekend. Win yourself a lot of money, live happily ever after, yada, 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 the end. We'll be back early next week. We'll break down. We've got a lot to talk about, but mainly probably going to focus on college football championship weekend. A lot of the games happening tomorrow. But then also we'll have new Senior Bowl invites, hopefully, that have been accepted to talk about as well. We've got some cool guests lined up for next week as well that I think are going to be a lot of fun. So until then, make sure you guys keep it with us. Keep it locked right here on Locked On NFL Draft.